Okay, so whatever this is, it's I think nobody can say that this is new fancy stuff. This is actually trying to fix some of the maybe oldest bugs that we have in the protocol. I'm gonna just in a few seconds actually say a little more about what I'm going to talk about. But the main issue here, and it's going to be a little maybe related to what was discussed in SIP yesterday, is actually documentation issues. How are we going to document some of the possible changes or bug fixes that we are intending to do? So basically what we have in the draft, offer answer draft, there are two open issues related to offer answer which are described in sections 6.1 and 6.2. Mary also mentioned them earlier in the beginning of the meeting. One of them was rejecting an STP offer in a prac, and the other one was the so-called offer answer commit fallback on a failed reinvite. And this is also what we got an LS from 3DPP on, and also where we in Dublin agreed to a solution. What it's about if you have a reinvite, and then before you get a reply to the reinvite, you have other intermediate offer answers using prac updates, whatever, and then the reinvite fails. So what happens then to those intermediate offer answer transactions which succeeded? So the conclusions that we made again is that if a reinvite does fail, any offer answer change that had been completed during that time or when the request was sent and the failure response came is remain unchanged. This is also what we indicated back to 3GPP and the LS response. The proposal what we are making here in these slides, this has been a little discussed also on the mailing list, and I guess this is some of the things we have to decide on, is that we should also apply these to dialog parameters. For example, the contact header, and it should not only be the STP, the same rule should apply to other dialog parameters also, because the problem is that we want to specify different rules for different type of parameters is going to be quite messy. So for example, if you have one of these intermediate updates or pracs and you update, for example, the contact header and then the reinvite fails, that updated with the update of the contact header which succeeded remains unchanged. Regarding the prac, this has been discussed on the mailing list. There was a proposal by Paul. There were different alternatives. The solution proposal by Paul, which I also agreed to and which nobody has objected to, would be to allow to reject pracs. Not only about for offer answer purposes. There could also be other reasons, but I mean offer answer is the use case we've had. So basically, if you don't like the offer which you get in the prac, you're allowed to reject it with the 488. The way the prac RFC is written today is basically saying that you should always reply to prac with a 200 OK. So the proposal is that we would allow this. There is also another proposal there, actually an open issue which we need to discuss. I'm going to talk about that a little more later. But the proposal also is that the retransmission of the reliable 180x responses, which normally stop when you get the prac, should stop no matter what the final response to the prac is going to be. For example, even if you're going to send a 488 to the prac, you will still stop the retransmission of the reliable responses. Like I said, I will come back to that later. There are some issues we need to think about related to that. And one of the reasons for this is the way that the RFC is written today is basically saying that you stop the retransmission once you get the prac, before whatever response you're going to send, whatever you're going to send up to the application, you do stop it at that point.
Just on this 488 with the prac, so I think there's a backward compatibility problem. So I think you need to understand that if you send a 488 back, that the entity that sent the prac is going to take that as stopping retransmission, otherwise it's going to keep right.
Well, I mean, like I said, we will come to that. I don't think we can say what the UAC will do since this is not specified, or what the UAS will do since it's unspecified. Yes,
John Elwell. The very last bullet there, other non-200 responses for PRAC. How do you know that those responses have come from the from the UAS and not from a proxy?
Well, you don't know that, and that's actually we're coming to that. And for that reason, the UAC will always have to send a new PRAC when it gets this response. Maybe unless it's a 481 or something, saying, you know, there's no call. But I mean, the UAC will have to send a new PRAC. So, for example, if the previous PRAC contained an STP offer, one way would be that the UAC sends a new PRAC, you know, for example, without an offer if it got 488. But it's like you said, we don't know whether it came from an intermediate or from a UAS. So we have to send a new PRAC in order to make sure that the retransmission of the reliable responses stop. So here are just an example of this re-invite failure. Without going into more in details, but you see there's a re-invite with an offer. Actually, I think we can take a look at this second one here on the right. You have a re-invite without an offer. Actually, you have a re-invite with an offer, and then you get the reliable 180x with an answer. You prac it, everything is fine. The offer answer exchange went well. But then the re-invite itself is rejected by a 486, so the re-invite failed. But this intermediate offer answer transaction there, you know, went well. So actually what you do have after this failure is this offer answer 2, which is called there. So you have updated the re-invite request, and the reliable 180x did update the STP. And here is an example of a PRAC failure. Here you have a re-invite without an offer. You get a 180 reliable back with an offer, and the PRAC is sent with an answer. In this case, the PRAC fails, and a new PRAC is sent, and it succeeds. But in this case, the offer answer or the STP is not updated, so you're left with what you had in the beginning. Of course, this could also be a re-invite with an offer. You get the 180x with an answer, and then you send a PRAC with a new offer, and then that fails. So this new offer is, you know, not there, but whatever you sent in the re-invite and got back in the 180 is there because that succeeded. So basically, those are the issues. So now, of course, we're going to, and that's one of the reasons, I guess, why we will continue work on this offer answer draft. It's actually to be able to, before we finish that draft, to actually document the outcome of these open issues. However, this is just a normative draft, an informative draft. We also need to have it get the solutions into our normative specifications. And when we look at the re-invite issue, it seems like this is would be quite easy to fix. The only identified RFC impacts we have found is in 3261. There is text in section 14.1 which says that, you know, if a user receives a non-2xx response, the session parameters must remain unchanged. So that would be replaced with something which you see here. Now this is not an editing session, so you know, if someone thinks that have better wording, you know, we can discuss that later. But it would be something like that the session parameters must be restored to the values negotiated by the last reliable, you know, exchange offer and answer. We haven't found any impact on it in any other document, for example, 3264 or anywhere. So for the re-invite issue, this seems to be the only one, but of course if someone knows about something else. The PRAC is a little more tricky. Of course, as far as RFC is concerned, the only one we found which would be impacted in 3262. It says there it requires 3262 bis, but you know, before getting up to the microphone, the reason for that is that the amount of changes or the way that the RFC is written right now, it may require quite much rewriting, unfortunately. But I guess we will see that. And that also depends on the open issue, which is coming in the next slide.
Well, as I said earlier, I think this probably requires an option, new option tag. So it would be 100 rel plus or something like that. Because
well, I mean,
otherwise, you don't know what the UA is going to do when it receives a 4xx response to a PRAC, since we didn't define that previously. Can't guarantee that's backward compatible.
Yeah, okay, we can discuss it. I'm not sure I agree with that. I mean, what we're, but anyway, let's.
Yeah. think we've just been sticking our head in the sand. We always could have gotten errors, responses from intermediaries or something like that. You could have got a 402 or 407 or 401 or 407, for instance. There's various errors you could have gotten in the past anyway. We just never defined what should happen when you got them.
Yeah, I mean, we can always define a new option tag and everything, but then the problem remains. The problem, the existing problem remains. Because we in that case, we have to say, you know, now from today, everybody has to start using this new option tag and forget about the old one. So, I mean, we see this more as a bug fix or you know, clarification.
Keith Trage. Yeah, I mean, now's not the time to debate whether you need a new option tag or not. We can always write a new option tag if we feel we need one. What I would ask Andrew is that he gets his comment onto the list and explicitly describes the behavior that he expects to happen if he has a new option tag, if he receives the option tag, and when he doesn't receive the option tag, so that we can actually see that there is a difference rather than just assuming, oh, well, wouldn't it nice to have an option tag to do this?
Yeah, and even if we did that for the current option tag, we would then have to say, you know, this behavior is unspecified, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's a bad thing to do from an interoperability perspective. But you know, we can discuss that. Anyway, so the changes, I mean, I like I said, it would be quite a lot of changes in the draft, so I haven't modified any particular chapters or paragraphs here, but this is more on a high level what would need to be said in the documents. Is for the USC part is that if it receives a 488 response, and again, this could be, you know, some other response also, it shall send a new PRAC without an STP offer, because as we said here earlier, the UAC doesn't know whether this comes from the UAS. The UAS may never have seen this PRAC if it was rejected by an intermediate. So something new has to be sent in order to you know, stop the retransmission. Yes, and that's it there. And also for the UAS part is, of course, that it should be allowed to reject the PRAC. So that's quite simple. But now we will come to, there's some issues to it. The question really is that if a UAS sends 2XX response to the PRAC, and the question is, does it still stop the retransmission of the reliable 180x responses? We propose that should be the question. But the issue related to that is, well, I mean, first, the reason, as I said earlier, is that the way the 3262 is written today is that that's basically what's going to happen. Of course, we can also change that, but you know, it then also depends on how things are implemented. But then we come to the issue here, because then when I get this first error response, I get it from the UAS, and the UAS has stopped the retransmission. Now I send this new PRAC, but no one in the UAS get that. He doesn't find any, you know, ongoing retransmission of any reliable provisional response, because he already stopped the retransmission. So in this case, today, he could send a 481. You know, I don't know about this. And that's, of course, not good, because the UAC, when it's get a 481 for this new PRAC, it may, you know, choose to, you know, release the call or whatever. So what we want to do is that the UAC, when it sends this other PRAC, it should, of course, get a 200. Now everything went well. But that, of course, yeah. So there are two alternatives here. And again, the first one is the one I... So if we go for that solution, basically what the US would have to do is, when it does stop sending on the 180X and then sends an error response, it would have to somehow remember, okay, there is no ongoing retransmission for this RSEC anymore, but I sent an error response, so I can assume there will be a new PRAC and I will have to send a 200 for that. Or the other alternative is, of course, that US does not stop the retransmission on the 180X if it sends a non-200 response to the PRAC. It will go on, then there will be a new PRAC, and you know, everything will go fine. So those are the two alternatives which we need to discuss. Then, of course, this is something that I don't want to spend time on here, but it's something that we can take to the list. But if we're going to update RFC 3262, are there other things that we want to fix? One of the things which have come up every now and then on the mailing list, which nobody really has had any good justification for, and so on, is that, you know, why, if I send an invite without an STP offer, why must the first reliable response contain an offer? For example, if I do send an invite with an STP offer, some reliable response has to contain the answer. It doesn't have to be the first one, but this is more strict. So the question is, do we want to remove that statement? I don't have any use cases on that, but there are, I've heard about some third-party call control issues, interworking issues, where it does cause some problems, because when you do send a 180x, you really don't have the answer. So in some, or the offer. So in some cases, you have to send some, you know, some dummy offer or whatever, which you have to update later. But that's something I guess we will discuss then, if we decide to, you know, update this 3.2.6.2 in the first place. I think that was all. Yeah. So
go back to the previous one. So what's the reason to change that? I mean, this to me screams interop problem if we change it. I'm sure that people actually respect the statement.
Well,
I think that's, I don't think I'm joking. Is there a good reason to remove the statement? If there's no good reason, I don't think we should.
So I'll go back digging into the archives. I have dim memories of why that ended up as a must, and it was a compromise that we made when we were engineering 3.2.6.2 to avoid a place where we could not react to a, and I'm going to dive into the details and get it wrong, but it was something like avoiding a glare condition with a thing, something coming in a different method that might be racing the response. So I'll have to go back digging into the archives to find out what it is, but it was, I remember that the essence of the reason for that must being there was it was an engineering decision to avoid solving a different problem.
Sure, I mean, if there are reasons, fine, you know, I think it would be good if we can find them, so I mean, and then we can discuss it, but again, this is not the
yeah. Well, but that, I mean, going more importantly to Francois' point, I mean, before we check why cannot be changed, we understand why we want to change it. So basically, Francois was asking for the reason to change it, so, and I didn't hear any answer. So if we don't have a reason, you know, we can spare Robert from going look for it.
Yeah, and the really important part of what I was saying was, is yeah, we could, if we do need, if there is a good reason to maybe change it and we need to revisit this,
exactly.
We need to walk into it knowing that that wasn't a capricious stroke of a pen. That
exactly.
Was something we talked about.
Yes. No, but I think that's fair enough. I mean, so I think what we should request is that people who do see this as a problem should then provide, you know, use cases or whatever. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. We're cutting the line after Francois, John.
A very quick one, John Elwell. I just have a lurking feeling that might be something in 3.2.6.1 as well that might be impacted by that.
Okay. So
okay, so we're going to assume that it's not changing for now, but if we do decide to change it because somebody provides convincing use cases, I think we really then need to do this in a backward compatible way, which in my mind really means maybe there is a case for being more tolerant on receiving this stuff, but I certainly don't want to I don't think we should tell people that now they don't need to send it in the first one on the sending side, right?
Okay.
Basic IETF principle.
This is Hadriel Kaplan. I agree
very
with
quick because we had actually closed the mics really quick.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, really quick. I mean, if it's...
Oh, no, that's cool.
Okay.
Christian, you're up next. Is that right? Yes.
Okay. So, the
way forward? Well, the way forward is to, I would suggest to take each of these issues to the list, right, and get feedback.
Okay.
Correct. And it would be helpful, I think, to identify which section of the offer answer document, which problem, give people background, right? Just to keep track of which section we're going to. Once we get agreement on the list, we'll go ahead and document in the offer answer document, and then Krister will go ahead and start piecing out the updates, et cetera, to the documents in SIP. And that's when we'll hand it over the wall to Keith.
Yeah, so essentially the work that Krister has been identifying will go into the SIP working group.
The
so basically, SIP
absolutely.
Is identifying the problems, and then SIP doesn't. So
no, we're defining the problems in SIPing because this is the whole point of what that document did, and then we want to define a proposed solution.
Yeah.
We will not progress the document
yes.
in SIPing until we've got the complete
yeah.
solutions agreed in SIP.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what I just wanted to say was, as Chris has identified, this will result in an abyss version of 3.2.6.2 in all likelihood. That's
what it looks like
yeah.
right now, absolutely.
So what I was going to say is, please make sure that you've identified, that's to the audience as a whole, please make sure you've identified all the issues you now have found in offer answer so that any of those changes can make their way into 3.2.6.2 at the same time.
Exactly, and this is the whole point. This is why we went through this exercise, the small group meeting, of identifying each of these proposed solutions, so we do have one single change to 3262,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but I mean, if people have found in their implementation that something in 3262 is wrong, now is the time to raise it.
Absolutely, yes. Okay.